Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. James 1, 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us into your presence and bringing us to this place of prayer and worship. I pray that you will come and speak to our hearts and our minds, God. I pray that we will just be touched by your word. I pray for your revelation. I humble myself before you and help us to pray and just connect with you this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time I was here for EMP, we read through James 1, verse 12 to 15. Actually, let's go to James 1. And if we read James 1, verse 14 to 15, it says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And then he goes on to say, today's passage, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. So last time we read about the temptation of sin, how we are tempted not by God, right? James is saying, when anyone's tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. God is incapable of being tempted or tempting us to sin. It is our own evil desires that lead us, not evil desires, our own desires that are misplaced, that tempt us. And when we give in to it, then it leads to sin. And if sin takes a deep place in our hearts, it gives birth to death. As we, you know, there is a kind of death, not a literal death necessarily, but a kind of death in our relationship with God, in our relationships with people. So don't be deceived. It doesn't come from God. Temptation doesn't come from God. And the kind of testing that we sometimes attribute to God, as in he is trying to get us to fail. You know, there's a kind of testing that strengthens us. There's a kind of testing that we just look at that and it's just kind of this mean, just waiting to see us fail and just trying to get us. That kind of testing is not coming from God. God is not up there trying to make our life miserable, trying to test us and get us to a place where we will give up and fail and just so that God can change us or grow us in some way, trying to find fault. But what kind of a God is he? He gives good and perfect gifts. He's the perfect Father, the creator of the heavenly lights. Lights representing just the good. He's the Father of lights. He doesn't change. And he gave us a new life. He gave us a new birth. Right? That's what today's passage is saying. Don't be deceived. Every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, it's kind of a long way to say, he chose to bring us forth or to give us new birth through the word of truth, meaning we've been given new life, so that we might become a kind of first fruits of all he created. And this is how the NLT translates that. We, out of all creation, became his prized possession. First fruits is the first harvest, right? When you have a harvest, and it's the first of the harvest that people offer to the Lord. But it also represented the best fruits, right? It's the first thing that we give to the Lord. And so we have become the first fruit of all creation through God choosing to give us a new birth. And the New Living Translation looks at that in the secondary meaning of what it represents and says, we, out of all creation, have become his most prized possession, the best fruit of all creation. Okay, so just want to ask, what is your internal picture of God? Do you view God as someone that makes your life difficult and wants to bring testing? The word temptation that we read in the previous passage in verses 13 to 15, it's the same word for testing. So when you're interpreting, you have to kind of use the context to determine, is it talking about temptation? Is it the temptation to sin? Or is it a kind of testing? But I think both could be used. We could also view God in this negative way of he just likes to test us, try us, and trial us so that not to, you know, make us strong, to reveal to us our own sin and to help us grow, but just to oppress us, you know, and push us down. And, you know, Bobby Connor, who used to come to our church, used to say, so many Christians view God in this way, right? So many Christians know God just enough to feel miserable. As in, the way we view God is we just know so little about him, and we don't understand his goodness, his kindness. We don't see him as our father. We don't have a relationship with him. So we just see him as this rule maker and kind of taskmaster who's kind of putting us to test, waiting to see us fail, and just making our life difficult. That was kind of my understanding of God growing up in the church. I grew up, my dad's a missionary, my grandfather's a pastor. I grew up in the church, and I mean, I can't point to a single experience or a single teaching I received. It was just a general understanding I had of God. And I don't think, I don't want to blame my church. You know, I don't think the preacher did anything. It could just be my culture, Korean culture, performance-oriented, and just the overall human nature, you know, or the work of the enemy, just to bring us into this place of viewing God as this mean God. I just felt like if I wanted something, God doesn't want me to have it. If this is what I love to do, well, God would say, lay that down. I mean, that idea is there. We're meant to lay our lives down, take up the cross, deny ourselves, live for God. But I just, it's another thing we have to, it's a huge topic to think about and meditate upon. But the way I viewed God was, he's just mean and he's just out to get me. And I went throughout my young, you know, teenager life, up to my senior year in college, I went to a Christian university in the U.S. And that's when I realized, that's when I had a revelation of my bitterness toward God. Until then, I didn't know. I just kind of lived my life always kind of under this, exactly what Bobby Connor was talking about. I knew it just enough of God so that my life was miserable. And I always felt like I was never good enough. I always felt like I failed. Failed God. I failed, you know, just as a Christian. And just kind of, that's how I viewed God. And because I would always fail, what is God going to do after college? Because we had a time of sharing. Oh, what do you think you're going to do after you graduate? And I had no idea what I wanted to do in my life. I was 21, maybe 20 at the time. But all I shared, I remember, was, I don't know what I'm going to do, but this is what I know. I know that God's going to lead me in some way to make my life miserable. And I'm going to have, it's going to be terrible. Like, I don't remember exactly what I said, but the sentiment in my heart was, he's going to make my life so terrible because there is something so evil in me that he needs to get out. He needs to work that out and just, so what, he's just going to make me suffer and somehow I'm going to become a better person or something like that. That's kind of my understanding of God and how God would lead me. And as I was sharing it, I began to get really angry, like very emotional and angry. And that was it like really surprised me. And I thought, whoa, what's going on in my heart as I talk about my Heavenly Father, you know? And that was kind of the initial point where I understood that I had some issues against God, and then the healing started to happen. But it took a long time of just understanding who God is, that he's a good God. He's for me and not against me. And yes, there are times he disciplines and he leads us through times of difficulty. And sometimes I think he leads us to those places so that we can grow. All those things that I said are kind of true. But I think the heart of God, maybe I just missed the character of God and the heart of God. And I just saw him as this, yeah, I don't know, slave master, taskmaster. So yeah, what is your internal picture of God? Like, how do you see God? Do you see him in the way that I did? Or maybe even a sliver of kind of viewing God in this way? Or do you understand him as your Father, as this chapter says, this verse says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. He is the Father. He's the Father of lights. You know, just very simply, good things. Father of all things that are good. If you talk about light and darkness, he's the Father of things that are good. And there is no variation with him. There is no changing with him. So yeah, he's so much better. He's so much better than we know. Right? He's probably, whatever picture of God that we have, he's probably better than that. He, you know, Jesus, I mean, Pastor Sam, I don't know what the Hebrew term is, but he often uses that when he teaches. Valhomer or something like that, right? It's the idea of, if you can do this, how much more will your Heavenly Father? And Jesus says in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 7:11. I remember it because it's 7:11. And it says something like, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, if you're a father, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Meaning, if you, being a man with all your sinful nature, sinful desires, failures, brokenness, you know how to be a good father. You at least know what it means to be a good father, to show love to your children and to give them good things. How much more will your Heavenly Father be better than that? So, if First, that's the first thing I would like to say. He's not like us, you know. Even when he disciplines, it's the perfect discipline. Discipline is not bad. Discipline is bad sometimes because we do it out of our own anger. Right? Especially if you're a parent and you have kids. You have to discipline them. Right? You have to lead them and show them. But it gets messed up because we often do it because we get angry. Because we feel disrespected, or I feel disrespected, or I feel out of control, or I'm stressed out about something else and I take it out on them. That's when discipline is bad. But if you have perfect anger and perfect discipline, that's actually good. So yeah, God is not like us. James 1, verse 14 to 15 says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's what temptation and sin does. Don't be deceived. That's not what God does. What does God do? He gives us good and perfect gifts, and he gives us new life, new birth. James 1, 14 to 15, talking about our temptation and how temptation leads to sin, which brings to death. That is the state that we were in, right? Before we come to Christ, before we have this new life in him, that's the state we're in. We're giving over to temptation, to our desires, and desire takes place in our hearts, which leads to sin, and sin has brought us to death. That's the state we were in. And God in his mercy, being a good, perfect father, has brought us new birth. But I want us to understand that, sadly, that is the state that we still find ourselves in time and time again. As in, yes, that's the place that we were in, giving ourselves over to temptation, eventually finding ourselves in a place of death. And God has, in his mercy, brought us to new life. But sadly, even as committed followers of Jesus Christ, often we find ourselves in this place again and again and again. We often go back to giving ourselves to temptation, which leads to death in various areas of our lives. Death in our relationship, in our intimacy, in our victory. You know, we find all these kinds of death in our lives because we keep giving ourselves over. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, that's a long text, but you can turn there, please. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10. It says, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. This is Paul saying, this is where you were. You are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So this is where we used to live. We used to live in our transgressions and sins, and we were dead. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them, them being the disobedient, at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. That's exactly what James is saying happens when we give up into temptation. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Right? So that's, I mean, it's kind of what we've just been saying, but Paul is saying it this time. We were dead in our transgressions. We gave in to temptation. It led us to death. But God, who is rich in mercy, gave us life. Because of his great love for us, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Even while we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And that's kind of what he has done. But what I want to suggest to us is that that kind of reality of finding ourselves in sin and brokenness and giving in to temptation and death, and then coming to God in his mercy, bringing us out of that into new life, is not just a one-time thing. It's not just at the point of your salvation, but it is throughout our Christian life, right? Sometimes we think God did that one time, and now that he's brought us to life, now we better make sure that we don't, like we don't take what he has done for granted. Now we better make sure that we kind of make up for what he has done. Like, he's done so much for us, brought us to life. Now we better make sure that we are living up to the sacrifice that God, Jesus, has given for us to bring us to this life. And so now we better make sure that we are doing everything and walking in the light and turning away from sin. I mean, yeah, true. We want to walk in sanctification, the process of sanctification, meaning becoming holier, becoming more like Christ, and we want to walk in that. But because of our, I think it's just natural, for some reason, as human beings, we often, I think, our mindset turns into thinking that we have to do it on our own, you know? Like, once we're in this place, and then we kind of get caught up in this idea of, well, now that we're saved, now I better make sure I do this, and I do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. And we kind of forget about the mercy and the grace and the kindness of the Father. Or we only remember it as a distant past as motivation now to live for him. But I think what we have to change that mindset and understand that God, who was rich in mercy and kind, and whose love was so great that he brought us out of this into life, is still rich in mercy, and his love for us is still great, and his kindness is still just as real and huge and available, that every day when we find ourselves failing or, yeah, not living up to maybe what we know as a follower of Christ, we kind of have a better understanding of what we're called to do, and yet when we fail and we find ourselves back here again, giving in to temptation and finding death, experiencing death, that we turn to God again in the same way that we did initially and experience his grace again. Like, that's it, it's as in live in his grace as believers. Not we found grace and now I need to make sure I live in obedience, is we found grace, or grace found us, and we have come to life, but we continue to have to find grace. As in, God's mercy is rich now, just as rich as it is now than when it was when he first found you, and his mercy is just as available to you now. And he, just as much as he did initially when we were first dead in transgression and he gave us life, he looks at us with that mercy. And understand that just as much as we needed his mercy then, we need his mercy now. And be okay with it. Okay with it? Let's talk, think about that. That's the reality. Yes, we want to grow. We want to be sanctified, and we are growing. I believe it wholehearted that if you look back 5-10 years, you're growing. But we're not perfect. We'll never get there. But if we continue to put that pressure on ourselves and we don't understand this Tim Keller calls it gospel renewal cycle. We're going to find ourselves getting either feeling guilty, you know, pressured all the time, feeling like we're not good enough, or growing bitter, or growing prideful. Because, yeah, man, God saved me, and look at me now. Man, I'm really becoming a holy person. It just all kinds of, you know, mess that we can find ourselves in. So, yeah. Okay. That was kind of my meditation through this passage. So let's turn to God. Sterling is going to come lead us in a song. But, yeah, he's our Father. Yeah, I mean, I was reading this text in light of, you know, the two verses above and how we often we view God in the wrong way. We get deceived. And we sometimes think he's the one that, I don't know, maybe is trying to bring us down. So you have to understand he's a good God. And just as he did that once in our life to bring us from death to life, but he's always doing it still. And it's better for you. It's better for you if you can come to terms with that and say, man, I am, this morning, I am a sinner. If you are, I'm most likely you are, you know, most likely you've messed up and you've given into temptation and you've given into that desire and death has kind of taken root in some areas of your life, and just say, yeah, God, instead of trying to pretend or convince yourself that you're somehow good enough for God, just say, God, I'm not good enough for you. Man, I am sinful. Yesterday, day before yesterday, this morning, yet again, I gave in to whatever it is. And God's not going to say, again, you know, after 100 times, what's wrong with you? He's going to say, welcome. I am rich in mercy. You'll never understand my mercy. Let me bring you back to life again. So, yeah, let's turn to God.
Forever and ever.
Can we sing the chorus one more time? I really want to. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you're the one who died for us. You're the one who set us free and gave us new life. And you're the one who still sets us free and gives us life in you. Every day, God. And I pray that we would be quick to just come to you in repentance and recognition of our own brokenness and sin, because we are confident in the richness of your mercy and the greatness of your love toward us, that we would continue to find your mercy and continue to be transformed by your love. And then, and grow, be sanctified through that. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray for those in our church going through cancer or chemo, radiation therapy. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for encouragement. Let's pray for power of God and strength for our friends on the list. Let's pray for those who are ill, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for healing and salvation to come upon our friends on this list. Let's pray for those with various infirmities. Let's pray for healing, strength. Let's pray for God to move in their lives. Pray for those who are looking for a new job. Let's pray for God's provision and guidance for our friends. go to our mission focus for today. Let's pray for Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines. But for Indonesia and Philippines, let's pray for the ministries here, for the Indonesian sisters, the Filipino sisters that are here in Hong Kong, that are coming to our fellowship, our ministry, Spin and Spill. And let's pray for our church in SB Singapore, Pastor Sam Kim and the leaders there. Let's pray. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids with Lisa, SP Youth with Donald, SPU with Pastor Andrew. Let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for all the leaders. Let's pray for all the children to encounter God, the students to encounter God through these ministries. And pray for more volunteers, please. Let's pray for our healing and prayer ministries, IP team, the well, and the river. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray for the volunteers, the team members. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray for anointing on these ministers. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches, which is SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's pray for God's leadership over these ministries. Let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for a fruitful outreach tonight. Let's pray for our pregnant moms. Let's pray for protection for them and for their babies, health. Pray for strength. It's a very tiring time. Lots of changes. Let's pray for energy and for joy. For the first moms to just be prepared and for God to really give them peace. For just the ability to adjust well to these changes. So let's pray for our pregnant moms. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Let's pray for a really great time of connecting with each other, fellowshipping with each other. Thank you, God. We worship you and we love you. Help us to live in your grace. Help us if we have a wrong view of the Father. Would you correct that, Lord? Help us to see the goodness of God and fall in love with you, that our motivation to serve you and to live for you, to obey you, will not be guilt or fear, but it would be love, God. It would just desire to serve and obey you, Lord. Thank you. We give this day to you, and we give our hearts to you this morning. Be with us, God. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a great day today.